Welcome to Monday Morning Moments, a weekly podcast dedicated to helping you make the most of the moments in your life. I'm your host, Mike Van Hooser. Hope you had a good weekend. We took a couple of weeks off, but back together today again for this podcast, and wanted to share with you a talk I gave actually to our ranch Bible study class this past weekend about purpose and plans. You know, if you've listened to this podcast, that we talk about leadership and performance and productivity in sports, business, and life. And one of the aspects of that is life. And spiritual life, I think, is very important that we have a strong foundation in that area. And some of the best people and performers that I know, faith is a very important part of their life. It's a very important part of my life. And today, I'm going to offer this talk that I gave about purpose and plans and just knowing some of the things that we do have to be aligned with what God has in store for us. And I think it comes back to understanding what is God's purpose, and not just His purpose or plan for our life, but His purpose. And when we get in touch with that, then we can align our lives with the plans that He has for us. And I think you'll see an interesting exchange between King David, the David that defeated Goliath, and the David that was king of Israel, and him wanting to do something, but it not being aligned with the plans that God had for him. But God had bigger plans for him. So I want to share that with you today. And there's a key question that I offer up in this podcast that I will share. And the question is, what are you offering up in your life that may not be aligned with the plans that God has for you? And thinking about that and thinking about alignment and how you get aligned with understanding what God wants to do in and through your life with the sphere of influence that you have, whether it be in sports, business, or other parts of your life as well. So think about this in terms of people that you lead and influence at home, at work, and in the community, and in the teams that you play on as well. And I hope it blesses you this week. Make the most of the moments of your life and continue to lead well and be aligned with the plans and purposes that God has for you. All right, we're going to be in 2 Samuel 7 today, so you can go ahead and turn there. Glad everybody's here. Hope you're having a good summer, full of busy times and everything. Our focus today is going to be talking about purpose and plans, and this is one of the best dialogues in the Bible. I'm so excited to teach this, and I think it just shows the real and relevant nature of God and how He's still relevant today and can have conversations and communication with us as well. We're going to see an interaction between David and God that I just think is just awesome. And so I'm looking forward to teaching that today. But I wanted to start with this video and talk about purpose and plans, because, you know, you've probably heard, if you've been around church for a while, you know, that God has a purpose for your life, or God has plans for your life. And I think there are moments that we buy into that and really understand that, and there are others where we say, well, I don't see what it is because I can't figure it out given the circumstances I'm in right now, or if these were the plans, I would have wanted to choose other plans, or maybe I wanted to have input on what His plans were. And I think some of the big ideas that we'll talk about today are how His plans and His ways and His thoughts are better than our ways. And so it's really important as we think about that. But I wanted to show this clip, and we may have shown this before, but I think it's a great clip about purpose and how we think about that, and then we'll get into the lesson.
I've been hanging out with college students, young single adults, young married families pretty much my whole life, and I think everybody's prevailing question, what does God want from me? And I think it's a great question. I don't think the question is flawed. I just think that the way we approach the answer to it sometimes is completely off the mark. And even part of the premise of the question is, you know, this is my life. These are my 30, 40, 60, 70 years. It's my family, it's my money, it's my gifts, talents, and abilities. All this is mine. What does God want with what is mine? And I think part of that premise is flawed. I think to understand purpose, you've got to start with the right premise. And the premise is everything is God's. And so it's basically saying, God, all this is yours anyway, so what do you want with what is yours? And as you ask that question, I think the culture is saying that purpose, you know, is tied to all these external things. And when I read Scripture, I find out that purpose is mostly tied to internal realities. that purpose is tied to the spiritual dimension of our lives. The character of our lives is more important to God than the content of our bank accounts. Our personal devotion and our personal intimacy with God is more important to God than what everybody on planet Earth thinks about us. And so we could be the most well-known, most famous, most prominent, most powerful person in the culture and lose everything in the end because God says, I never knew you. I know you did all this great stuff, and I heard all the reputation about you, but I never knew you. Depart from me. And so I think purpose has to start with God. And so we have to ask the question to God, what's your purpose? What is not so much your purpose for my life, as in, give me a plan, and I'll go do that plan. But to ask the question, what is your purpose for me as a person? And I want to make that the priority of my life. And as I do that, as I make becoming the man of God that he wants me to be the priority of my life, seems like all these other things seem to work out. I love that.
Isn't that great?
Been thinking about that. I think that I've personalized that myself, and you know, thinking about what's God's purpose for my life, and what's God's purpose for me. You know, what is it all about? And I think just ending the period there sooner in that question, and thinking about what is God's purpose, and then applying it to how we can live within that. And I think that's a different kind of question than asking, kind of what is His purpose for me, and how can I have input on what that is. And so we're going to see a conversation that takes place in this as well that redirects, I think, David's thought process around purpose and plans. I want to start with Isaiah 55, 8 through 11. You don't have to turn there, but I think it's a good thought as we think about thoughts. And the big idea that I want to get into today is that His thoughts, His ways, and His plans are bigger than our thoughts and our ways and our plans. In Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." I think as we think about that, we have to think about, you know, God's word is not going to return void. And His thoughts, His ways, and His plans are higher than our plans. And that's a simple thought, but I think it's deep because it's complex and difficult sometimes for us to integrate that into our lives. To just have the thought. I mean, I don't think any of us would come before here and say, well, my thoughts are better than God's thoughts. But in reality, when we live that out, sometimes we think that, right? Because in the way that maybe we're frustrated with what He hasn't done or how He hasn't moved in a certain way, or maybe He's moved in a certain way, but we wanted this and He chose that for us. And maybe it wasn't bad, but it was different. And we wanted to, it was change in our lives and bringing that in. And so that's how we really live it out. Sometimes we might be shaking our fist at the heavens and saying, you know, my thoughts are better than your thoughts, God. I would have done it a totally different way. But we have to understand His thoughts are better than our thoughts, and they're going to come, and they're just like, you know, something that seed and flourishes and all of that, it's going to bloom, and we have to know that His timing is perfect. And I think as we think about this big idea, here's a key question that we'll get into today. And this was a piercing question for me. And you'll see the relevance of that in the conversation that David has with God. But what do you keep offering up to God that He didn't ask you to do? And I think as we read the first seven verses, this will come evident as far as what David was doing in asking that question. So let's get into the text today. 2 Samuel 7, 1 through 7. Well, that'll set the context for the rest of the things that we'll talk about today. So it was a time of peace. Tanya did a great job of talking about the ark. We've got the ark back. We've got a unified kingdom. And as we get into 7:1, it says, "Now when the king lived in his house," this is David, "and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, 'See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent.'" David had built this big palace, and it was cedar and all these other great things that they had built the palace. And he's sitting there reflecting, and he's saying, "I'm in this great palace, and we've brought the ark in. We've brought it in the right way. But, you know, God, remember Tanya talked about last week, that's the presence of God. That's where he dwelt. And he was looking at his earthly dwelling and was saying, God's dwelling out there in a tent. and I'm in a cedar palace. And so he's thinking about building a palace for God. That's basically building the temple. And Nathan says to him in verse 3, go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. So, you know, the prophets in that day were the ones who spoke and communicated from God to the kings and to the people. And so Nathan, he didn't think he necessarily had to consult God on this, but they're just hanging out and, you know, in a cedar palace. And David's saying, I'm thinking about doing this. And it's like, well, go and do it. You know, this is a man after God's own heart. Do whatever is in your heart. And in verse 4, it says, but the same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I've not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the judges of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? That's the part that I love. I mean, you know, it's just real from God. It's like he goes back even pre-David into Judges and going back to Egypt and all these things. I've been dwelling in a tent forever. Did I ever complain about being in a tent, saying, man, it sure is hot in here. Would you build me a house of cedar? I mean, that's just great stuff. It's classic. That's the kind of relationship I want to have with God. Not that he's always, you know, telling me, did I ever ask you that? But, you know, having a real and relevant conversation with God. To where he not only says that, but he also says, here's what I want you to do. And we're going to see that in the majority of the text today. But he's telling Nathan, look, I haven't asked for this. And I think it gets back to the question that's on the board as well. You know, what do I keep offering up to God that he didn't ask us to do? And I'm not going to try to answer that question for you. But if you think about your areas of your life and you think about what's most important to our lives many times, we offer that up and see all the things I've been doing for you in this area of my life, whether it be work, whether it be, you know, the success of my family, whether it's other things, and I'm doing all of this, and we hope that it's on point. But sometimes there are things that we offer up and say, I'm doing this, but the motivation is really all about us, and it's not what God has asked us to do. And so again, it's a piercing question, but a question for you to ponder this week to think about. Are there things in your life that you're offering up to God that he hasn't necessarily asked you to do? Or, you know, another way to look at that is, what does success look like to God? And what does success look like? And when we think about that, we think about, well, here's what success looks like. It looks like, you know, this job, this life, this, you know, whatever for our kids, those kinds of things. But what does success look like to God for our lives? And as we really get into that word success as well, I think it gets us into some other things as well. And I think this quote, and you've heard us talk about this before, but being faithful and available. That God has not called us to be successful, if you think about that from a cultural standpoint and everything that success means. But he's called you and me to be faithful and available. And I think being faithful and available looks like this. Being faithful, and I'm just going to build this out. He's faithful to his word that he has communicated to us. So he's given us the Bible. He speaks through us to messages and other people. And are we faithful to the word that he's given us, whatever that might be? Or do we just go through our quiet times and say, that was a nice little verse. It made me feel better, but I didn't do anything with it this week. I didn't apply it in my lives. I didn't act on what he was saying for my life and being faithful to that. Also to the people he's given us and being faithful to that. And that's not just about duty. You know, I think often we think, well, I'm taking care of them. I'm doing these things. I'm doing the tasks that I need to do to make sure everybody's good and all of that. And Gina was out of town this weekend, so I did feed them breakfast and didn't burn the house down and got the new puppy out. So I did all the duty, you know, task type things, but all that. But am I being faithful to the people that he's given me? Faithful in that love relationship, but faithful also in just stewarding that well and living that well. And that could be in all places. It's not just in our family. It's at work as well. It's in the community. If we're in a opportunity or responsibility, an area of leadership, we need to make sure that we're faithful to the group that he's given us in that as well. And then to the calling that he's granted us and continuing to get in touch with what that word is. And understanding the calling that he's given us. And then being faithful, I think there are three things here that summarize everything. It's available to him. And if you think about your schedule last week, if I think about my schedule last week, how available to him was I? And that's just, I mean, we could just ponder on that for a while and think, well, I had all these things, I had to meet with these clients, and I had to do these things and do all of these things, but I don't know if I was really available to God for Him to speak to me. And I think that's when we look at our calendars, we have to make sure that we create time, invest time, and schedule time for that priority, because it's the most important priority to everybody that we lead and influence. Also, being available to others and just making sure that we make time for that, not just kind of passing like ships in the night as far as activities and things like that, but being available to other people. And starts with the people that we lead and steward and influence, but also being available to others to breathe truth into our lives as well. How many times have people wanted to get together with you for coffee or lunch or something like that, and you know you could grow from that relationship, but you get to the common refrain of, I don't have time. But making time for those kinds of things are very important, and for us to breathe life into other people as well. And then available to His work. How much capacity do we create in our schedules and have to do His work and to connect with what He wants us to do? And that doesn't mean a separate job. It means with the work that we have, or the calling that we have, or the platform that we have, being able to do that work within the context of that. It doesn't have to be separate. We don't have to separate the secular and the spiritual. We have to live an integrated life. And in the platforms that we have, we have to see how we're available to do His work in and through that. So to me, this is what He's called us to be. And I think you'll see David's kind of refocusing as God refocuses His effort to think about being faithful and available around that in what we're doing. We'll get to these verses in just a second. But again, we see the context. David wants to build this palace, and you know, God's redirecting him. And it wasn't the time, and he wasn't going to be the person to do that. So let's keep going in verse 8 in 2 Samuel 7. God continues, says, "Now therefore thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house." God comes back to that idea of a house and being safe and secure. David, again, was not the person who was going to build the temple. He was, again, the warrior king. And it was a different role that he had. There were still people there that were, you know, potential threats to them. What had happened back in the time of Joshua is they had entered the promised land. And God had said, you got to remove all these people, or they're going to come back and it's going to be a problem if these people are still around. And some of the tribes didn't remove all the people, and they let them stay, and they became threats to them. And all the ites that we see, you know, the Moabites and the Edomites and the Ammonites, all those ites that we read about in the Old Testament, those were, the tribes that were still becoming threats and major threats to God and to His people. And there was still a role for David to play, that warrior king, not to go off on some building project and do that. That was going to come later. But that he was the man who was going to be the king over that, to establish peace and to do that as well. I think that, you know, we see that God had bigger and grander plans for God, and they're even going to get greater as we read the text as well. One of the thoughts that I had this week as we think through this is that our best laid plans are not always what's best for us, for our family and friends, and for the people we lead and influence. So our best laid plans are not always the best plans for us, for the people that we influence, and the people that we lead at work and other places. And I think that, you know, I thought about that, and I feel like planning is a really, you know, big strength of mine. And I think especially in our family, Gina's really spontaneous and all of that, so we've learned to blend those together. You know, when it's not on the plan, that kind of got me antsy early on. And there's on the plan, you know, it's like we didn't plan that out. You know, time's important, you know. And not that she's not about time, but I think I've learned to grow in that, to be more flexible, so in doing that. And that's a good thing as well. And to be able to adapt the plan. But I think, you know, we've learned to blend those strengths together as well. So when we talk about plans and purpose, that's where, you know, it can be a real rub for us if we're a planner and think we're going to plan all of these things out. And that wasn't in the plan. God, I mean, you're directing me this way and I wanted to do this. And, you know, and thinking about purpose. But sometimes, and a lot of times, our best laid plans are not what's best for us. But God's plans and his purpose are always perfect for us, for the people that we lead and influence, and for the people, our friends and family. And so our plans may or may not work out, but his plans through his prophetic word and his power are always going to work out in his timing. And we have to trust that and believe that and understand that's where his ways and his thoughts and his plans are higher than our ways, our thoughts, and our plans as well. Ephesians 3:20 says, Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. So more than we could ever imagine, he's able to do incredible things, immeasurably more things than we could ever imagine. And we may have some great plans. David had a great plan in building a temple, you know, that would eventually be built. But he says, no, I've got a greater plan for you, and I'm going to reveal that. That's not for you, but the plan I have for you is going to be even greater than that, all for my glory. Also, Psalm 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. So his counsel and his plans and his wisdom stands forever and for all generations. Not only what he was communicating to David in this moment, but to us as well. And again, we have to be connected to God to understand what his plans, ways, and thoughts are. That's the key. Because we can, you know, okay, come away from this lesson and say, okay, his plans are greater. But if we're not connected to what he's communicating to us, his plans and his thoughts and his ways, then we're going to miss it, right? And then we're going to come away frustrated from that because we're saying, is it my plan or his plan? And there's some kind of divide that we're not connected to God to understand who he is. And that gets back to being faithful and available. It's all connected. Because we'll be frustrated if we don't just say, okay, God, you do it. And then we don't jump in to stay connected to what he wants to communicate to us as well and make time for that. I think another thing is that God in these verses was giving him peace for the present and hope for the future. Because he was saying, look at all these things I've done, you know, judges, kind of pre-kings up through you and into this current moment and what I'm going to do, and I'm going to create peace and I'm going to destroy your enemies. And he was communicating, David, as great a warrior as you are, I want you to know who's doing this. You know, it's not you and the tens of thousands, even though you're getting cheers for that. It's me. I'm doing it. You're stewarding that. You're taking that role and you're active in that process. But I just need you to know who's doing it. And it's me. And I'm going to continue to do that. So David knew that the weight wasn't all on him. And that's a very important point for us to remember as well, right? We have to remember that it's not all about us. It's not our strengths and talents and gifts, even though we may have those and we think that those are really great. And we thank God for giving us those strengths, talents, and gifts. We have to continue to be active to know here's what he's going to do in and through that and be active in the process as well. So let's keep looking at this as well. Let's keep going. We'll go down to verse 12. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Just to pause there, he's saying that through your line, you're going to have a son. He's going to be an awesome king. And we've been studying about him with Dave teaching about this in Ecclesiastes. It's Solomon. And Solomon's going to be the person who's going to build the temple. And it's going to be great. And that's going to be one of his main roles in addition to other things that he does. But that's going to be a main thing that he's going to do. And so it's going to come from your line. That's not your role, but it's going to be your son's role. And in verse 14, it says, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words and in accordance with all the vision, Nathan spoke to David. So again, at this point, you know, God was communicating this to Nathan, but it says that, you know, Nathan spoke those words of truth to David as well. God's also referring not only to Solomon, but he's referring to Jesus. And we'll see that in a couple of verses down from here, but that's a great plan. I mean, the temple's going to be built. There's going to be peace.
There's going to be a great line for you, and I'm going to make your name great, all for my glory. But there's going to be even better things as well. I think that when we think about plans, again, Jeremiah 29:11 has been one of my go-to verses. You know, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and plans to give you a hope and a future. And I know sometimes this is used for prosper, and we get caught up in that word, and then it's skewed because it's all about, you know, wealth and prosperity and things like that. But this is a great verse to be able to claim, to know that, look, he's on your team. He doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to, he has plans for you that are for your best, for his glory. And I think we have to understand that and embrace that as well, to understand that he wants to do incredible things, you know, in and through us. And that he's got plans that are, again, not to harm us, but to create opportunity for us and to have our best interest at hope as well. I think reminders from God are important because they refocus our attention on God's plans as opposed to our plans. That's a great reminder in that verse, because I often have to go back to that verse when I'm in a circumstance that I don't understand, or I think that it's not my best at heart, or it's a very devastating or disappointing circumstance. A reminder like that gets me focused again on what God's plans are. Nathan, God through Nathan, was refocusing his attention. He was saying, look, I've got a grander plan for you. And when we have reminders from God like that, and they're throughout the Bible, we have to understand that that's going to refocus our attention on what his plans are for us and not what our plans are and how our plans may or may not have worked out. And so I love that, because we have his word to have those reminders for us as well. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I have sent it. Again, another reminder from Isaiah that says, my word is not going to return void. It's going to accomplish the thing that it's set out to do. And we can be vessels for that and ways that it can actually accomplish those things. So in verse 18 through 21, he closes out this and says, after Nathan has heard, or David has heard from Nathan and heard from God, says, then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come, and this is instruction for mankind, O Lord God. And what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God. Because of your promise, and according to your own heart, you have brought to about all this greatness to make your servant know it. Therefore you are great, O Lord God. There is none like you, and there is no God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. That reference of Lord God, I mean, David is basically doubling down on who God is. I mean, that's like a double holy announcement of God. And he says it multiple times to show that he's sovereign, to show that he knows him, to show that he's, you know, omnipotent, and all the things that we can have in God, to know that he is, just like he revealed to Moses, I am, that he is everything that we need. And he's acknowledging that throughout that as well. And I think there are a couple of lessons that we learn from David. And I'm going to go ahead and build these out because I want to talk about them in the context. It says in verse 18, then King David went in and sat before the Lord. So David, in hearing this reminder from God, he refocuses his attention from the everyday to the sacred. So if you think about your everyday, what's going on in your everyday? If I look at my everyday, there's work, there's practices, there's getting, you know, kids up for school, things like that. There's taking them to activities. There's all kinds of things that we've got going on. And the summer doesn't slow down, you know, from the school year. The everyday, and looking at everything that we've got going on in our lives, and probably everything that you have going on in your lives, is a lot of work, right? There's a lot of things that are going on. They're great things, but there's probably a lot of busy things that keep you busy, right? And David, in this moment, to really reflect on what God was saying to him, takes his attention off of the everyday to the sacred. That's the first thing. He says he went in, he got away from being king, and he probably left and went in to sit before the ark. He also ceased all activity in the presence of God. So you think about it, Have you ever, you know, been sitting down for a quiet time and yet the phone's sitting right there, and I'm guilty of this, and, you know, it's, and it buzzes and something comes up. Oh, breaking news, you know, what is that? And I'm supposed to be having a quiet time, and why did I even have the phone anywhere where I'm having a quiet time, you know? And, you know, also, you know, David wasn't tweeting about it. He wasn't putting it on Instagram, even if he was having a great quiet time and, you know, kind of, you know, getting the mug there and getting the Bible there with the right lighting and just saying, okay, holy moment, hashtag holy moment. You know, here's a great, you know, and getting it. He ceased all activity, right? He got away from that and said, you know, this is a holy moment and I want to cease all activity that's going on. I want to shut down everything so that I can really be present and hear from God. He also sat in the presence of the Lord. It says that. He says he sat before the Lord. Again, not that it's not, you know, that we shouldn't, you know, pray in the car or pray when we're walking. I mean, I think we should pray, you know, constantly and pray without ceasing and do all of those things. But being connected to God and being truly connected to a person, if you think about that, you're going to sit down, you're going to look at them eye to eye, and you're going to think and hear what they have to say. And we have to think about the busyness of our lives. Are we sitting down and creating time just to be in his presence and to hear from him and be connected? Also, he acknowledged God's sovereign rule in the past, present, and future. He talked to him about how this is what you've done before I was born. This is what you're doing now and how you've brought me and you reminded me how you took me out of the pasture and brought me to be a king over your people. And you're also going to guarantee my future and what you want to do in and through me. So he was giving him hope and peace in the past, present, and future. And God, I mean, David acknowledged that. And I think we have to acknowledge that to step into that truth, to acknowledge that he holds our past, present, and future, and that he knows what he's doing and he's in control. David also testified that God is more than able to accomplish his plans for our lives. So when we think about verses that we read and even started with, that your ways are higher than our ways, God, and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, do we truly believe that? And are we testifying to that in our lives? That we're stepping into that and living in that, that his ways are higher than ours. And also, he is more than able to accomplish that. And then finally, he recognized that God determines what he wants to do and he accomplishes it for his glory. That he was refocusing his attention and saying, I don't want you to build a place for me. I haven't asked for that. But here's what I've asked you to do, and here's what I'm going to ask you to do in the future. And I, by the way, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to be doing it in and through you. So again, just a thought to think about, you know, is there something this week that you think about and saying, you know, something that God's not asking me to do, but then to go back and seek out, what are you asking me to do? And again, as we saw in the video clip, you know, what is your purpose, God? And how can I live in that? How can I be active in that process with the platform and the life that you've given me?